Welcome to Bible Fellowship Assembly Sunday Morning Messages. Today, Rene Bernard continues our series of messages on the questions Jesus asked in the Gospels. Today, focusing on the subject of worry. And now, here's Rene.
Morning. Do we like the weather? Nice and cold outside? You know, funny that preaching most basically from the book of Matthew. Matthew is a tax collector. And this morning, the Lord has a sense of humor. Because this morning it's so cold that even the tax collectors have their hands in their own pockets. So my message is on the question mostly of worry. Why should we worry? Why should we not? So we'll start with open prayer, and then we'll get on with this message. Father, I thank you for the privilege of speaking for you this morning. I pray that my message will be delivered with clarity, calmness, and that you will bless my words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, when Dave looked at the introduction a couple weeks back, talking about his son Daniel and all his questions. Well, I also have a son named Daniel. And when he started asking questions, it was like, Dad, what about this? And by the time I had the answer, he had like 10 more questions. I was like, focus, slow down, boy. But I guess it's a Daniel thing. So if we go over to Matthew 10:29, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? So not even a sparrow falls to the ground without God knowing about it. So in the midst of trials, the disciples, they could be confident of God's care. The Lord Jesus teaches this from the sparrow. Two of them were sold for a copper coin, yet not one of them dies outside the Father's will. As someone has said, God attends the funeral of every sparrow. This is from the McDonald commentary. But the very head, again, we're going to go to verse 30 now. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered, including the ones I have left. But seriously, in all seriousness, the Lord takes care of us. He provides for us. Every detail of our lives, He cares for. Well, Jesus was illustrating this in a simple way to the disciples. Don't worry about what you'll wear. Don't worry about what you'll eat. Don't worry about anything, because He has provided everything. So we can apply these teachings also to our lives. In Exodus 16:4, and the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." And He supplies bread for us. Physical bread and mostly spiritual bread, which is His Word. He provided for the Israelites in the wilderness. He provided manna, quail, guidance, protection. He still does that today for us. How wonderful is that? The Lord will provide what we need, whether it's physical, spiritual. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We've been studying that with Dave and Becky, and it's been a great, great encouragement to me. In the New King James, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In the New Living Translation, I like this one, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need." And the Jerusalem Bible, "Yahweh is my shepherd, I lack nothing." So we have everything we need in the Lord. We only have to trust Him and obey and study His Word for all our spiritual needs. And He will provide everything else. Very encouraging. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." What a wonderful thing that is. I'm going to go to Matthew 15. Verses 1 to 20. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also trespass the commandments of God because of your traditions? In verses 1 and 2, the Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus by asking why his disciples ate without washing their hands. It was the whole thing of ceremonial washing right up to the elbows, and which was prescribed in the Old Testament for them. But they had all also added their own rules. This was ceremony, or for ceremony, washing for ceremony, where they had to be cleansed, and if they had touched a dead body or anything unclean, they had to do the ceremonial washing. But then they added their own rules. Oh, well, you got to wash before you eat, which is not a bad idea. Especially if you're a plumber or something like that. So, he answered that and said to them, verse 3, "Why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me, you might have received from me as a gift for God,' then he need not honor his mother or father. Thus you have made the commandments of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" So the Pharisees criticized the disciples for not following tradition. We also have to watch, I kind of jumped ahead of myself here, but we also have to watch that we do not follow man-made rules, but to refer to God's words for instruction. God's word is the ultimate instruction book for us. So the Pharisees made up their own rules concerning the law. Where the law commanded them to honor their parents, they got around that by saying that any money and possessions they had was dedicated to God. Now we avoided the responsibility of taking care of their elderly parents. Jesus called them hypocrites and quoted Isaiah's prophecy. Even today, maybe especially today, we have to be careful that we're discerning and following God's word and not man-made rules. So if we go to verse 16 now. So Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. But he with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So what Jesus was saying there is, do you not yet understand? Whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach is eliminated. But what comes out of your mouth comes from your heart. And I can attest to that. Sometimes I say things that I shouldn't. And in Proverbs 6:14, perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Jesus teaches about having a pure heart and a clear conscience to follow him in truth, honesty. So in Matthew 15, he asked the disciples, how many loaves do you have? He was testing them, testing their faith. Having already fed 5,000 previously, he could have fed them without anything at all. He started with physical food and was teaching them with spiritual food. Matthew 16, 6 to 12. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember that the 5 loaves or the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves and the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you did not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? So Jesus here was warning them about the false doctrine that is being taught, and is being taught today even. You hear all kinds of things in the news, social media, schools, many other places. False doctrine being taught. False things being sold as a truth. But the truth is in God's Word. And only in God's Word. In Romans 15:4, Paul says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. Now we're going to go to John. John 6:30. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. How fortunate we are that we have a Savior that feeds us. How blessed we are. Verse 41, the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? See, the Jews didn't understand when he said, I am the bread of life. They didn't understand that he is exactly who he said he was. He repeats it in verse 48. He said again that he is the bread of life. And he continues to teach them what they must do. They wanted a sign so they could believe, but that is not God's way. God says to sinners, if you believe, then you will see. Faith must always come first. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that anyone who believes in him may have life, may have everlasting life. So, we believe in God, we believe in Jesus, we have everything. If you don't believe in Jesus, you have nothing. Praise the Lord.
Let's pray, shall we? Dear God, our Father, we are before you as a glorious and great God, full of grace. We are before you as our Lord and Savior, Jesus, now thankful that we know that you have come to us to serve as the model and exemplar as to who God is and who he wants to be for each one of us. We realize that he was following an eternal plan made before the creation of the world, for the people that he would create and all that they would need from then in life through to eternity. We thank you that he came to solve the problem of sin. We thank you that you sent him to die on the cross, that there he shed his blood, that he died in our place and took our place such that he could offer to us now a free and eternal gift of salvation, not earned, not won by our doing or our attempts at righteousness, but because he has called us to himself in a personal relationship, made us his, brings us to bring himself to us, and makes us aware that we are in him and that we are as just as if we were in heaven with him now. Father, we just thank you for the service, for the reminders of Jesus as he taught us. Help us to be the disciples that we ought to be as we follow him each day. Help us to learn from him. Help us to study him. Learn from his teaching and from his wisdom and his impressions on our heart made by the Holy Spirit as he applies God's word to our minds and hearts today. Father, we just commit ourselves to you afresh, thanking you for this time of being in your presence and for you being with us and showing us of your glory and your life for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Come back next week for the next Sunday morning message from Bible Fellowship Assembly. Visit us on the web at bfa.church, where you will find our physical address and contact information. We'd love to see you if you're in the Timmins area, or drop us a line at info@bfa.church. Until next time.